Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Years ago, when I was a parish pastor, a young man, probably in his mid-20s, came to see me, was not a member of our congregation, had not been a Christian prior to this point in his life, and asked if he could meet with me and learn a little bit more about the gospel. And I said, sure, how did you find out about this? And he said, well, one of your members told me to come and see you. It was a young lady who was here from a foreign country, was a member of our church, and didn't speak English very well. But through just their casual conversations in the workplace and over work breaks and so on, she started to tell him about her Savior. And through this, he had now been brought to a very early stage of faith and wanted to grow more in that and learn more about it. And I thought how interesting that is. Just through the gentle conversation of someone that could hardly speak the language, God was working there through her confession of her faith in Christ to work faith in this young man's heart. It's quite a simple process when you think about it, the simple nature of how the gospel goes out in the world. Listen to what Paul says. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Just think of that. The gospel comes to us in words, just like words I'm using right now. The message about what Jesus has done for us, paying for all our sins, living a perfect life in our place, offering that to God so that we could believe in that and have heaven. It's just words. That's all it is. It just comes through these simple aspects of communication. And to think that in your heart and mine right now as Christians, the connection that we have that will ultimately save us forever and allow us to live forever in the paradise above is just these words that come out of people's mouths. It's really a pretty amazing thing. When I was a little boy, a friend of mine for Christmas one year got a magnet set, and I was so impressed with that, how you could take these magnets, and then there were little pieces of metal and little ball bearing balls that he had part of the set. And I was so fascinated how this magnet, you couldn't see the power in the magnet, but you could tell by its force what was happening. The same is true with the gospel. Words, you can't see words, they just go out. And yet God, by his grace, has put inside of them, impacted them with his power to get people to heaven. And so when the message of Christ goes out into the world, even through the simple mouth of someone at the workplace, it has the potential to draw people to Christ. It's an amazing thing. And that's why Paul is expressing in our text the great need for the office of the public ministry. He says, how shall they call on him if they've not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? There's an implication there that the world needs these words. The world needs the confession of the church. The world needs your confession out of your mouth as a Christian. Our dying world has no other hope and no other way of getting connected to Christ than through the mouths of Christians in this world. And the world doesn't need a flimsy, wimpy confession. The world doesn't need a wishy-washy, Play-Doh-like confession that can change with the whims of time and society and the ideas of people. That's not what the gospel is. That's not what the message of the true church is. The Holy Spirit is not a skeptic, and he has not designed and fashioned a skeptical religion. The Holy Spirit is a God of truth, a God who makes assertions, a God who states things emphatically as true to be believed and grasped by faith so that people can come to heaven. He does not change the doctrine that is to be expressed and taught through his believers to match what's going on in society or depending on the feelings of the individual. St. Paul did not endure a martyr's death because Christianity just might have been true for him, but maybe not for someone else. Christianity is a confessing religion, and it is a religion of assertions. That means statements of truth, not possible truth, truth. Christianity is a religion of assertions. Martin Luther said this: take away assertions and you take away Christianity. You must delight in assertions to be a Christian at all. And in the same way that a magnet draws other bits of metal to its side through the power in that magnet, and even through those bits of metal, the strength of that magnetic force goes to other bits as well, so it is with Christians. God uses the very power of the gospel to bring you and me to faith in Christ, to see our sins and to understand our need for a Savior and to realize how wonderful his grace is. And by the power of that message, he grabs us and takes us to his side, makes us members of his church so we can go to heaven. But he also reaches through us. The very power of that gospel goes through us. It's never us that's doing it, but it's the message itself and the power of the message that reaches others. And this is how he has chosen to reach other people in the world, through the confession of our mouths and from our hands. This is how God has always operated in the world. He didn't decide to use angels. He didn't decide to use the animal kingdom. He hasn't decided to use machinery or armies, but your mouth, your hands, your abilities as members of his church. And only the gospel itself, this message about our Savior, only that gospel has the power to bring people ultimately to heaven. At the beginning of this letter to Romans, St. Paul said that he loves the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. And he's not ashamed to proclaim that in all of its truth, in all of its assertions. Jesus said to the members of his church, "The words that I give you, they are spirit, they are life. They're real, they're true, they have life in them, they have power in them. They have the ability to take people to heaven forever." That's what his word is. We better never back down from it. We better never act like, well, this is just a take it or leave it religion. That's not Christianity. It is a religion of confession, of assertion, and truth. And God calls upon us, his children, to state that emphatically through his church. One of the first deans of our seminary, Dr. Norman Madsen, once said, "The gospel is not only the invitation, but the transportation." The gospel doesn't just invite you to come to the cross and believe in your Savior. It brings you there. It's the very thing that grabs your soul and takes you there so that you can come to heaven. Now understand this. When we confess Christ with our mouths, when we stand up for him in this world, there will be a price for confessing. St. Peter understood that as he sat by the fire that night, feeling the pressure of those around him. Stephen understood that as the rocks hit his arms and legs and head. Bartholomew, our Lord's disciple, understood that as they began to take the skin off of his body, being filleted alive for his faith. You and I, we pray that God spares us from never having to give our life as a cost for confessing Christ. But know this, there will be some price. There will be some cost. It may be as simple as ridicule and psychological oppression from our culture and society, but there will be a cost. But the confession of the church can be found in very humble, obscure places and used by God to bring souls to heaven. You can find it when a mother tucks in her little child at night with prayers. You can find it publicly when the church expresses God's truth from the pulpit. You can find it in family devotions. You can find it in the hallways of this very institution when teachers stand and talk to students about subject. You can see it through the gifts of music and the arts, even when a Christian friend tries to send text to another friend to convince them of God's truth. And even in those gentle conversations by someone who can barely speak English at work. When we get to heaven someday through God's grace, it's going to be interesting to hear all of the different little ways and connections that God used in life to pull other people to the gospel and that saving message. And I think of all the people that are going to be walking around in heaven expressing gratitude to one another that God used their confession and talents to help get them there. Our Lord Jesus says, "Hold fast to what you have and let no one take your crown." Amen.